Thank you for that, Alex. That was, you kind of need a base for that as for, you know, the history of what we do celebrate. I kind of was wondering the same thing because we also celebrate Christmas, and Christmas was at one time a pagan holiday too. That has that was pretty much eradicated, and it is now a Christian holiday. I am on. I was asked to do a topic on the Christian perspective for how we deal with Halloween. The only expert advice that I can give you is don't celebrate it. Obviously, the Bible does not talk about Halloween, so I'm not gonna. The topic is not gonna be on Halloween. I'm more gonna talk about. Trying to think here how to say it, but that we have a two. That we as Christians know that there is two kingdoms, and that we, as Christians, do not go over into the kingdom of darkness. If we're doing that, we're giving glory to the Prince of Darkness. We're not serving God. So I'm going to start off by reading a few different texts. You can follow along with me if you want to. The first one, you guys all know, it's Ephesians 6:12. It's that we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, kingdoms of darkness of this world. The next one would be 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Okay, and then I will also read 1 Corinthians 10:14 to 22. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. It is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation of the blood of Christ, and is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the same, the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean that that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that the idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And then the last text will be Acts 19. And this is a story about Paul. And he was talking to some Jews. I'll just read. Trying to think here. They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake in tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of the Lord Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirits jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their skulls together and burned them publicly. And then it says later that it's roughly about 50,000 dakmas. I don't know what, I didn't do the research on how much that was altogether. That's all for the text, but this really stood out to me that in the church this actually was going on, that there was people that were practicing darkness were in the church, and they did not realize what they were doing until after they had a realization that they are not strong enough to do this on their own, that the darkness, the powers of darkness were stronger than they when they did not have the Holy Spirit with them. And I think that, you know, Halloween, there are many Christians today that do not realize the implications of what they are dabbling in. You think of these cute little kids, they're getting all dressed up with costumes. I know when I was working at Trust Tech, the parents were just almost sick of Halloween and the fact that their kids were so excited. They got to dress up, they got to go and get candy, all this stuff, and they were letting their kids go into that. But then there's also Christians that are letting their kids do this stuff. And the stronghold or the foothold that gives the devil in your life is tremendous. I had to think of things other than Halloween that you can get involved in, such as, like, I was thinking of scary wood. Alex talked about that, just the spirit of fear that gets in you. That's another foothold that the devil will have in your life. Whether or not you're doing it for a thrill or not, it's still a spirit of fear. We don't have that. Another thing I was thinking about is books we read. The pop culture of today has made demonic forces, Satanism, all that stuff cute. They've completely did a makeover from it. You know, vampires used to be this monstrosity that went and tortured people and then killed them. Well, now I don't know the Twilight books, but I've heard that they're supposed to be really good people anyway. The Christians condone a book like that because they were teenagers and they remained pure through it. So satanic beings remaining pure. It's a good Christian book. No. and that's where we have this problem of these kind of things creeping into a church, of the church. We need to be standing in one spot. The world will go away, move away from us. That's just a couple of things that I was thinking of. But then also, I had to think about it because at Trust Tech, we had a guy that he was excited about Halloween. I think he got up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And he went and dressed himself all up. He was excited about this. He came to work dressed up as some kind of, I forget if it was a skeleton or something like that. Anyway, and he was completely taken aback that it was inappropriate. I was like, dude, that's completely inappropriate. We don't do that here. And he did not understand it. And, you know, maybe I was just throwing pearls before swine, but for a Christian, we can't, we don't dabble in darkness. It's kind of hard for us to even imagine going and talking to someone who has no clue that there actually is another kingdom, that this does have spiritual implications. But I was thinking that for those of you who do live in town, a way that you guys can witness to them. This is the easiest day of the year to witness to people. You don't have to go knocking on doors. They come knocking on your door. I was asked, for a list of things that you can do to people. Do you even involve yourself in trick-or-treating? Absolutely. Involve yourself in it. Let people come to your house. Give them candy. Give them a track. These kids, the parents will eventually go through the candy or something like that. You're going to have that literature that will be in their house. And that's pretty much the only thing that we as Christians can be. We are the light on that day that is a day of darkness, is a day that they celebrate death. I've never had kids come to my house. But I know that there are people that live in the close neighborhoods and, have that candy ready, have tracks ready for them, and be ready to shine that light. So that's all I have.